I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, it's Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian on the Grizzlies and Beyond. Every weekday around 10 a.m.
Chris Harrington joins me now. Chris, what's this we're listening to?
That is the Queen of Memphis Soul, Carla Thomas, with Something Good Is Going to Happen to You. Send that out to every Grizzlies fan who watched that game last night.
You were there as a fan, whatever. You came in with tickets with your son.
Yep.
What was the experience?
Experience was good. I mean, we got there. I guess I wasn't clear on when they typically open the doors for fans. I thought it was 6, but I guess it's 5:30. Right. And so we got there at like 5:55, and there were literally more people waiting to check your vaccination or to ask you how or to help you with it than there were people trying to get in. And I think we hit the sweet spot right in between. Because I talked to someone who said they were there at 5:30 exactly when they first opened the doors. And at that point, a lot of people were there waiting to get in, and they only had a couple of lines, and it was kind of a mess. But whatever mess it may have been at 5:30, by 5:50, it was all cleared up. And then later on, maybe around 6:30, it got, you know, the lines got there again. And maybe the lines were longer or slower than is the norm, but I don't think they were dramatically longer or slower than a typically really, you know, good game. I didn't talk to anyone. My son was getting tired of me introducing him to people, because we did like 2 or 3 loops around the bowl, and I kept seeing people I knew. And every time I saw someone, I asked, so when'd you get here? What was your experience? And like 0 complaints. And then on social media, I just said on Twitter last night, hey, if you're at the game, tell me if you found any of this to be a hassle. And I got like a dozen responses, and only one was like, it was a hassle. And that one was just like, the line was really long on 4th Street, which is true. I saw that. But like every other person responded was like, this was easy. It just went straight through.
Yeah, I talked to someone who waited 10 to 15 minutes or so to get through the vaccination line late. It was late. And they said it was a pretty long line. It moved reasonably quickly. People were in good humor. It wasn't like
– right.
And then I didn't understand, but by and large, it seems like it went relatively smoothly. What was the hiccup you had on your clear? I am so inept when it comes to technology.
So I had signed up for the clear thing, and apparently I'm the only person who like didn't notice this. I didn't really read the Grizzlies instructions. I just saw that they wanted you to do clear.
Right, I don't read the instructions.
And so there's a thing on, I'm holding up to you, but I'll explain to people. So on the clear thing, if you scroll down, like the third box, I don't know why I scrolled down to the third box to the first, but the third box is this thing that says digital vaccine card. Well, I thought digital vaccine card, that's
that
what they want,
right? Right, right.
So I put in all my information, and then boom, it pops up, and there I am. Okay. But the screen is white, and the screen was supposed to be green. And at the very top, there's something called your pass.
Okay.
Which basically, it's like after you put in your digital vaccine card, I figured this out on my own, you can go to the Your Pass thing and you can select a specific place, and there it is, FedEx Forum. And so once you do that and it pops up, it's green. I guess you need to do the Your Pass and not just the digital vaccine card. So that's what
yeah,
I'm
no, just shoot me. Just take me out and shoot me. How did you get through then?
Well, I mean, I think he would have let me through, or I would have. It took me, once I tried to figure that out, it took me like 10 seconds to figure it out. But I had the photo of my vaccine card just in my photo log on my phone.
And that was good.
And I had my wallet with my driver's license. And so, I mean, that's fine, too. As I looked around, like, I saw a lot of people using, like, the phone, the clear thing. I saw some people using the phone and clearly, like, showing, holding up the picture of the vaccine card and holding up their
license.
Their license.
Right. You can't just have anyone's vaccine card.
Yeah,
right.
And their license. And I saw some people. I saw some people with a their vaccine card in like a laminate lanyard around their neck. And I have friends who've done that.
Really? The actual
one.
Card.
Yeah.
In a laminate.
Yeah. And then I saw some people like you who are just weirdos who are like pulling this little paper card out of their wallet and handing it to people, which yeah. I think is bizarre.
Folded in half, right. Unfold it, and hand it to people.
I did not personally see anyone like, you know, showing their negative COVID test. I'm sure there was some of that, but I don't know. That seems yeah. odd to me. And there was a COVID testing station that was inside the garage. And what I gather is that was for the people sitting down courtside.
Oh, I see. Okay. So then I thought it was just, I mean, again, I'm not obsessed with this, but I thought it was a smaller opening night crowd than a lot of times. It was announced at 15,000 or so. It's not.
But not like dramatically.
Not dramatic. No, yeah. It wasn't some puny little crowd. It was a raucous, fun atmosphere, obviously, enhanced by the quality of basketball, which was fabulous. We'll get to Ja in a minute. The you wrote about a little bit in the piece you have up. You led with a bit about Desmond Bane and D'Anthony Melton. Although the dress rehearsal Kyle Anderson started, those two, Melton and Bane, started in this one. Your thoughts?
Yeah, and I don't know, because I was sort of in fan mode. I don't know at what point it became public knowledge what the starting lineup was going to be. I had been busy with my kid and getting him food and whatever, and I hadn't been looking at Twitter, so I don't know if it was already known before it probably was to some people before the actual announcement, but I had no idea until they actually announced the lineups. It'll be interesting to see. I mean, they played so well, I assume they'll stick with it, but to me, Melton particularly makes sense against that team because they start two small right. guards, right? And so from a matchup standpoint, he makes sense. But on the other hand, they were starting Laurie Marketing at the three. And so right. if you wanted to quote-unquote match up with that, Kyle Anderson would have made sense. But of course, what really made sense was to like force Laurie Marketing to guard like Desmond Bane. You saw right. what happened, right?
Right?
Early in the game. And so, you know, I'll be interested to see what happens when Dylan Brooks comes back. I think Melton Brooks is the way they should go. That's probably not what they're going to do. They'll probably do Bane and Brooks. I think it'll be fine either way. But for now, like, I'd just stick with this until Dylan Brooks comes back, unless there's some compelling reason not to, because it's and that's sort of what I wrote about, because you and Drew were writing right. about Ja. Like, to me, Bane and Melton together was the secondary story of the game.
Right. They were terrific in all kinds of ways. Melton had that three straight three-pointers at right. one point.
He seems to do that. He seems to have these little spurts of three-point
right,
shooting.
Right, yeah. And a lot has been made of it, but Desmond Bane does seem more comfortable taking the ball off the dribble now, doesn't he?
Yeah. I think one of the things, and I mentioned this in passing in my preseason stuff, it was funny. He, like, the on media day, there was somebody, I can't remember who it was, said, like, you look like you put on some weight. They meant muscle. And, like, that's, like, not, I haven't weighed the guy, but it seems clear to me
an issue.
He has come in leaner
right.
than last season and quicker as a result.
Yeah.
And he's gotten more confident with his handle, and he is quicker. And I think you're seeing some of that, yeah.
And then there's, well, we'll put off Ja for a little bit. Jaren Jackson Jr. It wasn't a great game for Jaren Jackson Jr., but
Yeah, I think when you look back on the season, what like Jaren's game averages are, that will have been a subpar game for him. It was a subpar game in which he had three of eight from three-point line, which is good, very good for a seven-footer. And also had four blocks, and that's something not last year, but the year before he got hurt in that middle stretch of the season, which I'd written about, he was slapping those games together. Like if there was a stat that was like the three block plus three pointer game, if that was some kind of stat, like Jaren Jackson has a chance to lead the NBA in like that, right? And the three pointer four block game he had last night, I went and searched on the stat site, and all of last season of all players in the league across all games. There were only 27 times all last season that happened, right? And they weren't. A lot of those were role players. Robert Covington did it two or three times. He's a classic 3-and-D role player. But there's also some Kevin Durant, Luka Doncic, whatever. But it's just that, like, that's not that kind. Putting those two things together, which is sort of the core of sort of what could be special about him, that's sort of always been his foundation. That's just stuff. Not that many guys do that, you know?
Right. And meaningful, too. Like, he had a critical block at the end.
Well, he blocked that Laurie Markkanen three-pointer, which was, you know, that would have made it a one-possession game with a minute to go. He also had, and this doesn't factor into either, any of those stats, but to me, one of the cooler plays of the game, sort of under the radar, was he basically ran a little high pick-and-roll with Brandon Clark and like, set up, threw an alley-oop right. pass to Brandon Clark for the dunk. And that kind of like hint of like being able to do stuff with the ball on the offensive end, I think is going to be really important for him in terms of, you know, raising the ceiling.
He was not effective putting the ball on the deck, particularly.
Well, this is, to me, the biggest concern I would have right now about Jaren is not the rebounding, it's not the fouls, which both of which were fine last night. He, through the preseason, and actually this was not a problem last year when he came off injury, so that's why I'm not going to get too worried about it, but through the entirety of the preseason, then you add, if you add last night to it, he hasn't been very good at generating offense inside the arc.
Right.
Whether that's off the dribble or in the post or whatever, I think part of that is he just has not been very involved in the offense. Like the first quarter, I don't think he touched the ball, like the whole quarter.
He had one shot, I think, one shot attempt first quarter. Yeah.
And so I think they need to get him more involved, but I am...
That's and then at times he looks like he's forcing it. You know, I'm gonna plunge into the lane with it and
try
to force something.
Well, I think the first of those that I noticed was after he came back in was because he hadn't had a shot, right? It was like, well, I guess I'll go coast to coast here because otherwise I'm not getting the ball.
And that was the great revelation of the bubble was he was starting to – we were starting to see that emerge.
Yeah, and so that's something I'm just sticking a pin in to keep an eye on us going forward, right? Is there something where he has lost a little bit of that sort of burst when you're, like, trying to attack the rim, which is different probably than when you're shooting a three-pointer?
Is it
when
burst or is it – skill at the things that are required to score with it?
Both of those are relevant, but I particularly am noticing in the preseason and then last night that once he gets to the rim in terms of like elevating against contact and that kind of stuff, it doesn't seem to be quite what it was in the bubble. But you know, it's early. Let's keep an eye on that.
I was kind of surprised Zaire Williams played 17 minutes. Would not have expected that, with Dylan Brooks' absence.
And he was fine, but if you're just trying to get your best players on the floor, Zaire playing 17 and Brandon Clark playing 12 is not getting your best players on the floor. And clearly it comes out of Taylor Jenkins wanting to play small. Clearly wanting to play small. And again, you know, he went back, I think, unless I missed something, to Kyle Anderson played exclusively at the four. So that's the trickle down from there. We'll see what happens when Dylan Brooks comes back, because at that point, either Conchar or Zaire Williams presumably is out of the rotation. But I just think even then, if you're running your rotations to where Conchar and Zaire are both playing more than Brandon Clark, I don't think you're maximizing the talent on your roster. But we'll see where it goes.
Tillman did not play, right?
He did not.
He did not play.
And I think... You know, that's going to be tricky because I think they're right to want to maximize Jaren's minutes at center when Steven Adams is not playing. But if you're doing that and Steven Adams is playing well, I mean, the real question I think for Tillman is going to be how well can he and Jaren play together? When you put him and Jaren together, it's not clear who's the center and who's the power forward. It may not matter, right? Like every other combination you put together, it's clear who's the center, who's the four, and who's the five. In a Jaren-Tillman combo, those designations sort of disappear a little bit. But the question is, can you be effective with them together? And we just don't know.
And this is against a team that is giant up front.
And that was a problem. As exultant as people are over that game last night, you got to remember, like, the Grizzlies were at home and Cleveland's supposed to win 25 games, and that's a single possession game in the last couple of minutes. Jared Allen was 11 for 11 in that game. And Evan Mobley was really,
tremendous.
Really effective. So we'll see. I mean, you know, it's one game, but we'll just see how it goes going forward.
Ja was good.
Yeah, I would say so. I would say Ja was pretty good. To me, the interesting thing about Ja, and I talked a little bit about this with Drew on one of our pods in the preseason, and this is like the very definition of good problem, right?
Right.
Is how going forward, how he calibrates being a scorer and being a point guard playmaker. Because if he wants to be a 30-point-a-game scorer in the NBA, I think he can be a 30-point-a-game scorer in the NBA. Is that the best path ultimately for the team, right? Because if he wants to be like Allen Iverson, Derrick Rose, and just be like, I'm out here getting buckets every night, like, I think he can do that. And sort of finding that balance between getting his own and like, you know, being the setup guy is going to be an interesting, that's like high level chess, right? Like, you know,
what do you think is best? In other words, like it was critical at the end that he, like,
I'm not being critical of him going out and scoring 37 last night.
I know. No, but it's an interesting, it is an interesting dilemma because you do want the whole team to be productive and involved and engaged and whatever. And so And yet it's also wonderful in those final moments. I mean, it would have been a not disaster, but there was Cleveland within 1 point with 2.5 minutes left, and he just took over.
I think last night the scoring burst early was Ja scoring because he can.
Right.
The scoring burst late was Ja scoring because he needed to.
Right.
And that was sort of a big distinction. I think when it's last 3 or 4 minutes of a tight game, Ja Morant getting into the middle of the lane and creating points, and a lot of those are going to be his own points. That is the way you close games. I'm talking about more the sort of the flow of the game and finding that balance. This is like the highest level, like, quote unquote problem.
Right.
It's like this guy can be an awesome scorer and he can be an awesome true point guard. So how do you balance the two awesomes, right? I just think it'll be a fascinating thing as his career goes forward.
Which was better, the block or the dunk?
I'll say the block because we've seen the dunk before. And he has one memorable block, the Kyrie Irving block, but that was a different kind of block.
More
in the moment, a blunt jump shot. We have never seen him go up and, like, at the rim and block a shot the way he did that last night. We've seen, like, that dunk was awesome. It was no more or less awesome than 10 other Ja Morant dunks. That block was something new.
The block, not only didn't we expect it because of we hadn't seen it from him, it was just like out of the blue. It was a bolt. Whereas the dunk you could see coming. It was like, here it goes. Like, are they going to connect? Whatever. The block, I think, was more impressive. But honestly, I thought the most impressive thing, it was a succession of plays. But at the end, when he gets two floaters, an assist to D'Anthony Melton, and then the pull-up three.
Yeah. You could see him, like, in the moment almost doing – I think he even physically did the hand settle down motion. It was like, okay, I got this. Let's take a breath. I'm going to take over the game now. And it was a conscious, okay, it's time to win this game. I'm now going to go win this game. And then he went and won the game.
You don't want to give up 121 to the Cavs at home. What defensively, what did you note?
No, I mean, I think one of the things last night was – I mean, there are two things. One, Cleveland, and we'll see if this is a pattern or a one-off, but Cleveland, as I know, to Jared Allen, was 11 for 11. So Cleveland's shooting percentage, a lot of it comes from that. So their bigs were doing a good job scoring in the paint. We'll see if that's a problem for the Grizzlies going forward or just those guys had a good game, whatever. The other thing last night was they didn't really – I don't know if you have that on there, if you have the fast break points on there, but they didn't – it's somewhere on that box score, if you know where it is. But – they didn't really –
fast break points, Cleveland 23, 10 of 13, Grizzlies 22, 10 of 15.
Oh, so it picked up late. At one point during the game, like, they were lagging there. And my sense was they didn't really force as many turnovers and turn that into transition as sort of been the bread and butter. Like, I don't know what the turnover stuff was in the game, Cleveland versus Memphis.
Turnovers was
go to the bottom
11. For the Cavs, 12 for the Grizzlies.
Yeah, so the Grizzlies were on the negative on the turnover differential. That has not been Grizzlies basketball. Like, last season, and I think going forward, they're going to win the turnover battle most nights, and they're going to turn those turnovers into transition baskets. And so I think the one thing that was sort of missing from them was that sort of turnover-based defense.
Right.
That sort of
now, Dillon isn't a turnover guy, he's a lock you down guy,
right.
But you missed that. You also had a little less Kyle Anderson because of his, like, he's a turnover guy. Like,
well, and I think it was just a game. I mean, D'Anthony Melton was awesome last night. D'Anthony Melton also had zero steals and zero blocks. That's just not going to be his typical performance, right?
What'd y'all eat?
We went to Little Betty before the game over at the Wiseacre, which is right down the street from the Forum. And
that's the pizza place.
Yeah, the Andrew Michael guys have their little pizza stand inside the Wiseacre Brewery. And they are now doing, and I think they're going to, I noticed it on Instagram, which is why we went. And then I asked the guy at the bar if they're going to do this for every, like, Grizzlies-Tigers game. And he said he thought so, but that's not really a confirmation because it's just the guy at the bar.
Right.
But they were doing by the slice, which is not what they normally do. But it was like a game night thing, like, come, we'll get you in and out quick. We're already going to have the pizzas made, and you can do by the slice. And that was great. Highly recommend that. So that's what we ate in terms of food. But then we went into the gelato cart when we were there inside FedEx Forum. And so they're doing chocolate and stracciatella, which is like a, you know, sweet cream with a little bit of chocolate chip stuff in it.
Mm-hmm.
Those are their base flavors, but they're going to do, like, one or two, like, flavors of the game that'll rotate. And brand new to them was their tiramisu gelato, mm-hmm. and that was awesome. Highly recommend that.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. They're off on a road trip. We'll talk to you more about that tomorrow. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.